Thank you. Let's start with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, you saw the scripture to see the church. What is church? What's church doing? From Paul's letter. It is a lot of struggle in the ministry. There are so many challenges in the ministry. But God, help us to have good understanding about church from your scripture, from your perspective. And help us to follow Paul's step, how to love the church and love you and put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Larry Grab, one of my favorite author. Last year, he has a new book called Real Church. Real Church. He talked about, does it exist and can I find it? Talk about church, real church. And in this book, he write down a lot of his sharing and insight or experience, how bad experience from the church. And he's also compared with different denominations and also and highlight the thing he thinks is the problem. And on Amazon.com, one of the readers have commented on his book. He said, I'm age of 30 and I go to church week by week. But he feel, you know, lots of passion, keep going to the church. One of the reasons he keep going to church is if he don't go to church, he feel guilty. But it's not good passion or momentum to keep going to the church or serve in the church. So he quit. He need to find and search the real meaning of church, why he need to invest his life in the church. I think Larry Gap and also his reader had the same struggle. Why? Why go to church? And also from many statistics or survey, people in this mainstream of society, they always mention that they love Jesus, but they don't like church. Maybe some of your friends, maybe you have same struggle before. We love Jesus, but church life, we don't like church too much. You can feel free to read this book online or buy this book. Interesting. He lists out all the problems of the church and didn't give you any solution. Actually, at the end, he gives you only a vision about the church. A vision about church from the Bible or from his vision. What's church? What's a real church? You and me can find and invest our life in it. Is the real church exist? Sometimes we may have echo with every gap, struggle. What's real church? Can I find a real church? No church is perfect, right? Can I find a church? Can we still have a hope in the church? I think Paul, today, Apostle Paul, he can write a lot of things about church, especially in this letter. This church, maybe you know a little bit from the Sunday school, all the historical background or main theme, I leave it to Paul. Some he will teach you in more detail in today's Sunday school, all the background. But let you give you some brief idea. This is a church Paul planted on his second mission trip. And on third mission trip, when he visited Ephesians, he heard about the church has many problems. So he write this letter to the church. Actually, this church, he planted by him, and also he served among them for 18 months, 1.5 years, right? Paul so loved this church. But after he went and do another ministry in somewhere, the church has some problem come up. Many people challenge his authority, complain about his teaching, compare him with other leaders, Peter, Paul, criticize him. As a pastor, as a leader, so frustrated to become a pastor of this church. I think he can complain about a lot of things about this church, blaming them, yelling, you know, criticize this church. But interesting, he writes a long letter to this church with a very beautiful beginning. It's today we're going to preach and study. Verse 1 to 9. If I am Paul, I will start this letter from verse 10. Criticize the church, challenge the people, highlight their problem. Let everyone know that, right? But Paul didn't start with verse 10. He start with 1 to 9. With a greeting and a thanksgiving and prayer for this church. Today I would like to highlight three things we can learn from Paul. Paul understands church very well from the scripture, from God's perspective, not from his own perspective or only from his emotional Sorry. Paul understands what is church, what is church's future. So he keeps serving this church, loving the church without burnout, without complaint or criticize the church or demonize the church. We can learn from Paul. I would like to highlight the first lesson we can learn from Paul from verse 1 to 3. Verse 1 to 3. Maybe read 1 to 3 together again. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be apostle from Christ Jesus, and from a brother. Thank you. Very traditional greeting from a letter. But interesting, highlight three important terms. Actually, these three terms, you can find out the theme in the whole throughout the whole letter. Apostleship, sanctified, and also unity. We keep mentioning this theme again and again throughout the whole book. One thing I would like to highlight is about the calling. Paul highlights his work and his ministry. He is chosen by the will of God to do this job. I think as a pastor or as a leader or whatever what kind of ministry you are serving, you need to understand your calling. You are facing challenge, difficulty, different opinion. But when you understand your calling, you can stand firm and don't burn out. Just like Paul. There's so many challenges from this church, so many difficulty. He can't change. But he understands who called him to do this job. Apostle means someone sending him. Who is sending him? Jesus Christ. He understands who is his boss, Jesus Christ. For you, if you serve the Lord as a deacon or as a departmental chairman or as a pastor, understand who called you to serve. It helps you to keep the focus. Who called you to serve? You can stand firm on your ministry. And also Paul also remind the congregation your calling. In verse 2, he said, I'm writing to God's church, to you who have been called by God and to be his holy people. Not only Paul, but all the congregation, all the believers, you're also called by God. What does it mean holy? Holy doesn't mean you are perfect. Holy, the meaning is set apart for God. Or just you go to a restaurant, the table is reserved for you. The same meaning. God said your life is reserved for God. God wants to separate your life and reserve for God. He wants to use you. In this church, there's so many problems. They want to compare with each other. They want to highlight their different gifts and find who is the best. So it creates so many problems. Disunity. Division. If the church, if the people understand their calling, it helps us to keep the unity. They understand we are serve the Lord. Not only for myself. We don't need to compare with others. God called me and I separate for him. Just like Paul, throughout the whole letter, he mentioned 10 times apostle. He understands his role. 10 times throughout the whole letter. So he won't burn out. He stands firm. He don't give up his job. He still loves this church because he understands who called him to do this job. It is the Christ Jesus. And also in verse 2, he also help us and also help Paul to understand the real problem and understand the real status of the church. He mentioned it is the church of God that is in Corinth. The church of God. not some denomination, not some famous pastor. It is the church of God. The church belongs to God. Wow, what a powerful message. Sometimes we want to give up, we want to criticize the church, because we forget the church belongs to who? Paul, from the beginning, he understands the church of God. The church belongs to God. Not to someone, not to any pastor or deacon or any elders. No, the church belongs to God. So Paul understands. He can faithfully serve the church and love the church, because his church was purchased by God through the blood of Jesus. And also pay attention to the church. It is single, not plural, without S. The church is single. It's only one church. Only one church. The church belongs to God. If we have this appropriate understanding to the church, it helps us to love it. The church belongs to God. I live in Burnaby. I read from the local newspaper, Burnaby Now, on last Friday. Very best news. You know, a family, they set up a Christmas light dedication for decoration for almost 15 years. You know, very they put a lot of energy and heart to dedicate all the things. But too bad, for the last 15 years, everything is fine. And people come and donate some money to the hospital and appreciate their hard work and beautiful work. But this Christmas, someone took away the baby Jesus from the Christmas setting. So he told the news, I hope someone, you know, return Jesus to them so they can bring back the Jesus to the setting. You know, Christmas setting, you know, without Jesus, you know. When I read the news, sometimes, and I go back to a scripture I preached today, I think sometimes we need to remind us, bring back the Jesus in the church and among our relationship. From verse 1 to 3, Paul keep mentioning about Jesus. God call him, God call you, and the church belongs to Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, we become perfect. Paul keep mentioning Jesus Christ and bring back Jesus to the church. I think we can learn from him. What does it mean in Christ? It means the Christ cover you, the Christ cover the church. So when you see the church, when you see brother and sister, we see Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ. The church is not perfect. You and me are not perfect. I'm not perfect. But Paul said, in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we are covered by Christ. We have a hope. We can appreciate that. In Christ, we don't lose our faith about the church and also to the brother and sister. In Christ, can you have the same perspective about the church, about the brother and sister who do not have the same idea with you? In Christ, Paul always brings back to Christ in the church brother and sister relationship. He sees Jesus. I hope that we can bring back Jesus in our church, in a relationship, in a unity. And the second thing we can learn from Paul, interesting, from 4 to 7, he highlights the spiritual gift. Look at the spiritual gift. Because he believed this church, the brother and sister, will be blessed and used by God. Let's start from verse 4. And I mentioned the church has so many problems. If I'm Paul, I will start with verse 10. Criticize and highlight the church problem. It's really a temptation not to complain about this. But Paul had very good discipline. He said, I always thanks my God for you. As a parent, I always criticize or complain about my children. You know, they're just like a monkey. Oh, hard to control, you know. Sometimes it's a traditional, you know, Chinese parents. We do that, you know, bring the people, you know, challenge the people, criticize the children. But Paul, yes, he had some problem. But before he had the problem, he thanks God for the church. He highlight their gift and blessing from God. Because he believed God still used the church. Just like in 4 to 7, I highlight three parts. In verse 4, he said, he thanks God for the gracious gift he has given to you. In verse 5, through him, God has enriched your church in every way. In verse 7, now you have every spiritual gift you need. Wow. Sometimes when you're facing challenge, someone criticizes you or someone doesn't like you, we would like to highlight their mistake, highlight their problem, but not Paul. Paul highlight their blessing and spiritual gift first. Because he believed when he see that spiritual gift, he trusted that God still use them. To this church, quite a challenge. We know that there's so many problems. There's spiritual gift, but they use it in an inappropriate way. They cause a lot of division and disunity among the church. And challenge people, challenge leadership, challenge Paul. But Paul still highlight their spiritual gift and believe God has a plan. God still loves them and use them. I hope that we can also learn from Paul to appreciate our brothers and sisters in our church. May I ask the brothers and sisters to pray for our new deacon. The coming deacon board, this year actually, there's 6 deacons. Half of the deacon board are younger than me. I can't believe it. But it is good. It is good. They're young and green and more energy, you know. We should appreciate that. Pray for them, just like Paul. Always thanks God for them. Thanks God for them. Last week is Boxing Day. I don't know where are you going. I don't go anywhere to buy anything. I go to Pastor Sherman Holmes, have a brunch in Lanny. And afterward, we go to Walmart. Actually, not me, actually my wife. We want to buy some grocery. And I taking care of 2 children. Oh, it really tests my patience in the Walmart. So many people, nothing I want to buy, but taking care of 2 children for 1.5 hours in Walmart. So nothing to do, I walk around and see some interesting thing. Oh, interesting, I saw Walmart, how they do the marketing. Usually Walmart highlight low price, right? Always sell low price. You know? If I'm Walmart, I may be doing this in the marketing. We have a lot of variety. The price is always low. But interesting, why not they change the policy? Not only highlight their product or price, they highlight their service. How may I help you? You put this slogan on all the staff shirt. How may I help you? And the last Boxing Day, interesting. I found a very interesting statement on every staff shirt. It say, our people make the difference. Our people make the difference. If I do the marketing, I will highlight the product, right? And also the large store, a lot of variety of product, you know, good location, a lot of things. I would like to promote about Walmart. I think they put a high risk about this promotion. They put their focus on their staff. It's our people, not the product, make the difference. When I see this statement on all the staff in Walmart, it really impressed me and also made me think about the church. Last year, we keep mentioning about this beautiful building God gave us to serve and also to worship. Keep mentioning about this building. I hope in this year, we can shift our focus. As I mentioned, in a new theme, talk about unity, love. You talk about people. Actually, church, in Jesus, in Paul's perspective, church is not about the building. Church is not about the people. I hope we can learn from Paul, learn from Scripture, strengthen our unity, our love for Christ and for the church. So the people, when they talk about Pacific Grace MB Church, they no longer mention about the building. We talk about the people. I hope they can talk about the people. This church, they have good fellowship. This church, the people, they show their love to the people. This church, the people, they love to read the Bible. It's the people make the difference, not the building. It's my dream for this church. I hope we share the same dream. Don't mention the building anymore. But mention the people. God used the people to glorify His name. God used you and me to share the love. And the final point we can learn from Paul in this scripture, from 7b or to 9 or 8 to 9. Look at her ending. Or look at the ending. God will compete. Look at the ending. Look at the ending. In verse 8, it highlights, He will keep you strong to the end. Who is He? Not Paul, not any pastor. It is God Himself. God will keep you strong to the end, and you are free from all pain when our Christ Jesus returns. And verse 9, God will do that because He is faithful. He is faithful. Interesting, this church has so many problems. But Paul didn't give up the church because he don't put the trust in any leader or even himself. He put the trust in God. He believed God will keep the church till the end. At the end, when you and me stand before Jesus Christ, not because of our spiritual discipline, we do a great job in prayer or giving or Bible study. No. All things are good, but not that kind of spiritual discipline. Make us perfect. No. It is God make us perfect. Paul has that kind of affirmation and confidence in God. God will keep the church and you and me till the end. God will do that because not the pastor is faithful, but he said God is faithful. He will finish his job. Even in Paul's situation, the church has so many problems and challenging, but he still has faith. He knows that God didn't finish his job yet. God will come back and finish his job. He put his faith in God, not in man. Not only in this letter, also in other letters, Paul shared the same perspective. 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, also mentioned about end time or Christ's return. It shared the same perspective. Let's read together. Chapter 3, 13. May He, as a result, let's read together, make your hearts strong. Sorry. Let's read together. May He... Amen. Who make them strong? Not the pastor. Not Paul himself. Say it is God. God make their heart strong and blameless and holy. Looking strong and blameless before God. When Jesus Christ come back. I hope that we can have the same faith and confidence as Paul. God will keep the church. God will keep His people. Not because any pastor or leaders, but it's God Himself. He's faithful. He keeps His people. He keeps His church. That's the very, very strong reason we don't give up on church. Paul didn't give up. I won't give up. I hope we won't give up also. We put our trust in God. Because He will keep each of you till the end. Even though there are so many problems, so many difficulties. But God has His timetable and training for you and me and for His church. He makes us perfect till the end. Let's put our trust in Him. At the end, I would like to show 15 interesting church sites for you. Many churches do so many marketing skills to attract people into the church. I will share 15 of them. Very interesting. This one is good. There are some questions that cannot be answered by Google. Pick one you think the best. And then I like this one, Walmart. Walmart is not the only saving place. I love this one. And then keep going. Free coffee. Artificial intelligence. And then prayer, wireless prayer. I love this one. And then, this one's not quite clear. Keep going. This one, don't be so open-minded. This one is from Baptist Church. They're so powerful, that denomination. And then this one. I love this one in summertime, it's really good, right? Or the church without air condition. This one will encourage us to pray. This one is very interesting. Salvation guarantee. And this is the last one. Jesus says, I will make my home with you. There are 15 interesting church sites to promote and attract people to church. I don't know which one is your favorite. But I tell you, from the Bible and from today's preaching, I want to highlight that. Not the church site, not the church building. It is you. This year the theme is unity and love. We can use the beautiful church site to attract people come to the church one or two times. But if we come in the church and sense there's no love and no unity among us, we can't keep them. We can't keep the people. It is the people make the difference. You and me. I hope we can learn from Paul. Say grace, thanks for church, and put our trust in God. He will keep the church. He will keep the people. And also we, don't give up. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on church. And we make the difference. And I hope by our love and by our unity, we can attract more people to stay in this church and bring glory to God. Let's do it together in this year. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You give us so many blessings in this church and in our life. God, help us to use this in an appropriate way to glorify you. And help us to have an appropriate perspective about church. So what we do, bring the unity and bring glory to you. And God, help us when we try to criticize and bring the people, bring the church, help us to transform into thanksgiving. Let's see the blessing come from you. Let's see the spiritual gift in brother and sister life. Let's see the positive side. Let's see you is present among us. Help to change our perspective and help us to learn to love the church because it is purchased by you through the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Right now is to worship through the communion.